Welcome in to Sports Talk Chicago.
All gas, no break.
If you're looking for the same old sports talk,
get out.
You've come to the wrong place.
Hey, we ain't come this far just to come this far, you hear me?
I tell you what I see, I tell you the truth.
We going hard today.
We're fearless, bold, and highly opinionated.
This show is so hot right now.
The biggest guests, the hottest takes, and the best interviews live right here.
Do you actually remind me of Dan Patrick? Because you ask great questions, you have the knack, you have the gift.
On Sports Talk Chicago.
Yo, Chicago.
Here's your host.
The guy's an absolute stud.
John Zagul.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Sports Talk Chicago. We're talking Chicago Bears. We're talking Chicago Cubs with Larry Hawley. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Joey Christopoulos. Follow me at Joey Sports Guy on socials, filling in for John Zagul. Such an honor to continue to sub in for him this summer. Got a great show ahead of you, but first let's just talk about our wonderful radio affiliates that are broadcasting our show across the great state of Illinois. Got a shout out 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, Jed TV, WJOB, Cities 92.9 Talk FM, and 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio. Got to get the number just right. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're watching us on YouTube, please comment and question below. Throw on a like, throw on a subscribe. Your support means the world to us, especially this summer, as we gear up for a fantastic summer of Chicago Cubs baseball, hopefully Chicago Bears football, and then, of course, the Bulls and Blackhawks coming back. Are we going to talk about the White Sox? I don't know. I will. I'll get around to it at some point. Right now, they are not worth my time. Great show coming up. Larry Hawley is a guest. Super excited to talk about Chicago Bears and Cubs with him. Real quick, before we go throw over to him, I just want to throw out my poll question for the day. If you're listening to this on the radio, drive safely when you get home. Head on over to YouTube, Sports Talk Chicago, and answer and comment below. My question for you revolves around the Bears wide receiver position. We're taping this on a Tuesday. You might be watching this on a Thursday or Friday. News just came down that the Houston Texans have extended wide receiver Nico Collins with a 3-year, $72 million deal. And it had me scratching my head and asking the question, when it comes to the Chicago Bears, I know we talked about it when we traded for Keenan Allen, and it hasn't happened yet. And DJ Moore, who's currently playing under a 3-year, $61 million deal. My poll question for the week is, who deserves it? And who gets the extension first? DJ Moore or Keenan Allen? I want to hear your thoughts. I want to hear your opinions. Who deserves it more? Who gets it? Now, Keenan Allen, perhaps we can debate, is a more decorated player, more receptions, more receiving yards, one of the greatest Los Angeles or San Diego Charger wide receiver that's ever played for that franchise. Coming over, I get it, he's 32 years old, but his ability on and off the field to not only teach Rome Odunze, but hopefully produce for the Chicago Bears is going to be innumerable this season. I can't wait to watch it. But again, at the other side, DJ Moore has 2 years left on his deal at $16 million a year. $16 million this year, $16 million in 2025. So in my opinion, as it stands right now, I don't think you're extending Keenan Allen this summer. I think you're going to play it out. Hopefully he stays healthy. Hopefully he's a productive player for the Chicago Bears, teaches Rome a thing or two, and then they're going to head into the offseason. If DJ Moore plays one more year on his current contract, I guarantee you he at least will either say something or hold out of camp, or will not show up to training camp in 2025 ready to roll without a new deal. So as it stands right now, if you had your choice, if you could sign one of them up, Keenan Allen would probably be a shorter term deal, maybe a more decorated football player, maybe a little bit less on the AAV, or would you give that 3 or 4 year to DJ Moore? And how much money would you give him? You got to beat that 3 year, $72 million deal that Nico Collins just got. So what is it? 3 for 80? Would you give 3 for 90 to DJ Moore? Look, I think DJ Moore, younger player, more productive. I think he's a guy worth investing in, but it is a question to debate, and I want you guys to answer, comment, and question below. Who would you give a contract extension to first? Would you give it to DJ Moore, or would you give it to Keenan Allen? Talking Chicago Bears, all that and more coming up right now with Larry Hawley. Let's take a quick break here on Sports Talk Chicago. Coming on back, and let's dive right into it. Welcome back to Sports Talk Chicago. I'm Joey Christopoulos, filling in for John Zagul. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. Let's bring in our guest here. I'm so happy to have him back on. He's been a returning guest, not just Sports Talk Chicago, but my past show too as well. You might remember him from his fantastic work for WGN-TV, but you can also check out his fantastic Balcony Brew reviews on his socials. And where to find those socials, what better than at Hawley Sports? It's Larry Hawley. Larry, thank you so much for joining Sports Talk Chicago. How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful, Joey. How about yourself?
I'm doing good. As people know, I just moved back here. As you see, we're coming up with new backgrounds every single moment along the way here, dealing with thunderstorms every 20 minutes, multiple times a week. I'm loving the Midwest, man, and it's good to be with you. We can call ourselves neighbors now, can't we?
I know. It's fantastic. We're both kind of on the north side area. You're a little farther north than I am, but no, it's great. I actually entered 6 years now living on the north side of Chicago, just north of Wrigley Field. Plenty of beers for the Balcony Brew Review for the summer, so I've already got a couple that are out there, so happy to get that going again. Keep that going. That will turn 5 this year, so I started that in August of 19. And it's still going. People still ask about it. So I'm going to keep it going. We're mixing in some non-alcoholic beers here. I know people have been interested in that. So maybe mix in other stuff. We'll see how it goes.
Big summer ahead. And yeah, I think you've been doing shows. You've been gracious enough to come onto my show now for, I think, 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. So I definitely owe you one of those balcony brews on my tab coming up soon. Let's dive in. Let's talk a little sports here. I do want to talk some Chicago Cubs with you, but let's just lead with some Chicago Bears talk because this team, as always, every single year, and more so this year than any other, is dominating the sports mindset right now among Chicago sports fans. I want to hit you with something that just came down the pipe here. We're taping this on a Tuesday. You're probably listening to this either on a Thursday or Friday. So this is fresh to us right now. About an hour ago, the Houston Texans just extended wide receiver Nico Collins, 3 years, $72 million. So I want to kind of ask you as we move forward, I don't think this is going to get done tomorrow, but when you're looking at two guys now, Keenan Allen, who's going to be a free agent at the end of the year, DJ Moore, he's got 2 years left on his contract. He can maybe play throughout this next year. But then after that, he's going to be looking for the bag too as well. So let's just start here. If you're the Chicago Bears right now and you had an opportunity this summer to lock up one of those two guys, who are you giving that Nico Collins money to, DJ Moore, or would you give it to newly acquired Keenan Allen?
That's hard to say. I mean, I think Keenan is certainly productive. He keeps being productive. Had a great season last year. I mean, in my mind, it goes to Moore. I think Moore has not only is somebody that has produced for you already, but he's someone kind of winding into the prime of his career. I think the best is yet to come for him. I think right now I'd probably give it to Moore. Allen's going to be interesting if he comes up with another great season, because if he's able to build chemistry with Caleb Williams, then you got to really take a look at what they're maybe going to have there and what they might be able to provide. The receiver room is interesting for the Bears because I do wonder – Is Allen and Moore, are they the guys? Are the Bears going to look maybe next offseason draft or try to find somebody else? You didn't get the Marvin Harrison Jr. that some might have thought that they were thinking about, but didn't end up panning out. I'm forgetting it, Roma Dunze, and just how he's going to develop. Maybe he ends up being the guy. Maybe down the road you give him that money. But obviously that's a few years away. I'm really curious to see how those three guys work together, because if they do work really well together, then I'm very interested to see if the Bears do make that investment in Allen and say, hey, look, you know what? You're coming with us. If we believe, and if the Bears are able to crack open a window here, which I think they can maybe with the defense, if everything works out right, as it always does, maybe you are entering the room where you can see the window, maybe crack it. But I would say right now, I think that money goes to Moore. I'm very curious to see what Keenan Allen's going to do, though, because he is somebody who I think can have that next, that next step in his career. He can be a mentor to Roma Dunze, and at the same point, doing the same for Moore. So I don't know. I think at this point you think Moore, but I'm really curious with Keenan Allen. Allen is fascinating. I'm really excited to see how he's going to pan out here.
I completely agree with you, and the Bears are really in a fortuitous and advantageous position when it comes to Keenan Allen, in my opinion, because all those things that you just laid out are not only correct, but not only can the Chicago Bears not necessarily have to pay Keenan Allen beyond this year, but the knowledge that he's going to be able to impart upon Roma Dunze in that locker room this year and what he's going to be able to bring production-wise onto the field. I know that they talked about when they traded for Keenan Allen about possibly extending him, but I'm with you. I think I would wait on Keenan Allen and do a little bit more of a wait and see. He could still have a career year next year for the Chicago Bears. They could still let him walk and then let Roma Dunze slide right in. So it's a bit of a situation that Ryan Poles has built for himself that allows the Bears to take advantage of it without maybe spending that money. And maybe that money does go to DJ Moore.
Yeah, and the flexibility is still pretty good with the Bears. They're still in a really good position. And I think Poles deserve some credit for that. Obviously, you know, I think in many ways he's on the clock now. As I always said, when you draft a quarterback, you're on the clock. And I think that was certainly the case with Ryan Poles. Ryan Pace. We're already forgetting that name. But I remember Pace. I remember when it came to Ryan Pace in 2017 and I picked Trubisky, I said, okay, you're on the clock now. And everything is sped up. You know, he had his first 2 years there in 15 and 16 were, you know, they weren't very good, but they were trying to kind of retool a team that had run out of gas. You know, you saw the 2012, 13, 14 Bears who had some of the remnants of the team that they had before, you know, back in even going back to the middle of the 2000s. And those guys were aging. You had some of the new players in there. They had a window, I thought, in 2012 to do something very special. In an NFC that was a little bit open, didn't do it. So that kind of moved away. Pace comes in as GM, and in that third year, he makes that Trubisky selection. That's a make or break for him. Unfortunately, despite the fact that he did a great job to build a good Bears defense, it broke him. He would be out in 2021. So for Poles, I think right now he is still really on the clock right now. I think that's the case for any general manager really in the NFL, because you don't get baseball years to build up a championship team. You don't even get basketball years, or as we see here with Kyle Davidson, hockey years. In the NFL, there isn't that patience. So let's just say that the Bears miss the playoffs this year. Miss the playoffs next year, Williams struggles, then you're already on the hot seat. So I am really curious. This is very, the offense is fascinating. It's funny how maybe that's just the way football is. It always comes down to your offense. And now Poles is on the clock. He's done, I think, a good job to build up the Bears defense. They got much better in the second half of last year. Now comes that offense. Again, very curious. It starts with those three receivers.
It's been a wonderful offseason, and hopefully an offseason that Chicago Bears fans will look back upon and say, you know, where were you the night they drafted Caleb Williams, right? But you know, you're bringing up something so interesting where the work is certainly not done with Ryan Poles by any stretch of the imagination. And you talk about this window that's opening up right now, specifically through Caleb Williams' rookie contract. But on top of that, you know, when you go back and you look at that Pace team, you know, he had some really interesting decisions that he had to make after that 2018 season. Like, he paid Khalil Mack after the trade, but after all the success, he had to decide between Eddie Jackson, Bryce Callahan, and then eventually Kyle Fuller that offseason. And he went with Eddie Jackson. I think we can all debate whether that was the right guy that he picked in the end. And coming up for this defense, I see a little bit of a similar scenario where you have a Jaquan Brisker, who's very, very talented, great in the box, but sometimes injured. Kyler Gordon, athletic, but a slot corner. You know, what is he exactly going to ask for on the market? You just paid off Jalen Johnson. And then a lot of Bears fans this summer are going to be looking at who's going to line up opposite of Montez Sweat on the other side. So it is a lot of decision-making that Ryan Poles is going to have to make. How are you sizing up this Bears defense right now? A lot of people are hanging their hat on, you know, they finished the season top six in DVOA and the turnovers and everything looked bright and rosy to finish a season. But again, over a 17-game schedule, where are you landing with this defense right now? Can they replicate that, or are we looking at a slight regression? Where are you landing?
I think they probably improve, but I think you mentioned something. Well, let me go, not even getting into the negative right now, but I do think that they need somebody on the other end of Sweat. I mentioned before the call that I really like the selection of Austin Booker out of Kansas. I think, actually, Greenwood, Indiana guy, I worked in Indianapolis. I went to Center Grove High School, power down there. But going to him, really strong pass rusher, you know, some great film, getting a chance to watch some of the stuff really after the draft that the Bears picked him. Maybe he's a guy that breaks through. Maybe he does a little bit more earlier than Travis Gibson was able to do when the Bears took a flyer on him. Sorry, my lights went out here a little bit and now they're back. Very interesting to see what, you know, if he can make that progress quickly. That's where, for me, I'm looking, where are you going to get that other rush end? You know, they had Ngakoue last year. Do they try to bring him back? You know, they've got to find somebody else on that end. Anything else, you got to feel pretty good. TJ Edwards is kind of surprised he didn't make the Pro Bowl last year. You have Edmonds and Sanborn, they're going to kind of develop and they'll kind of figure out that rotation. Tyreek Stevenson, I mean, that's going to be one of those things. One of those guys, one of those players that, you know, maybe he's a steal. You know, many ways you got to give Pace credit for finding Jalen Johnson and being able to do that. The Bears have had really nice luck here in the second round when it comes to finding defensive players. I think something we don't talk a lot about with Poles was his decision to select two defenders in his first draft. So many people wanted wide receivers, went with two defenders. I would think it's fair to say, that's paid off. I think paid off significantly, where you have Brisker, who can be somebody who is your cornerstone safety, and you can have Gordon, who is a slot corner, but offers you some flexibility. And again, I really, really like what Stevenson has done. I really like where the Bears defense is going. I think they're still young. They're still growing. You'll get to slowly a full season out of Sweat, but they've got to find a way to get some pressure elsewhere. And I'm kind of neglecting it, because we talked about 2018 with the Bears. I've always said the most critical players on that defense were Akeem Hicks and Eddie Goldman. You have to get that push in the middle. And I like what the Bears were able to do with the two rookies last year. I think it's solid. I really believe that the Bears have a shot to develop this defense into a top, I would say top 7 to 12. If things go out well, let's just say that Booker is amazing. Let's just say he's amazing and they get that second end. What if they make a trade? What if they get that? What if somebody's cut and they get that at the end of the year?
Yeah.
That's where I think that they could be really good. I have very high hopes for the defense, and I don't think it's out of the question that they could be top five. Lots of things they have to answer. But again, there is that progression. You saw that. And Eberflus is a defensive coach, and the Bears had a lot of turnovers last year. That was Eberflus's bread and butter in Indianapolis. One of the first things you noticed when taking a look at him when the Bears hired him, and they were able to deliver on that, doing so in year two and doing so with a defense that still was figuring itself out even towards the end of last year.
Yeah, and it's going to be the real key, I think, is obviously trying to convert what were those turnovers last year more into some of those quarterback hits, maybe some loose balls in the backfield, something that they struggled to do even when their turnover rate was so high last season. So it's interesting to see, especially with Eberflus there, who I think, you know, I get it. He's gotten a haircut. The beard looks good. He's got new threads on. I understand it all, but I still think he's someone that definitely deserves, I don't know about criticism, but the microscope should be on Eberflus this season just as much as it was last year, because halfway through the year, we were talking about possibly canning him and moving on from him, and now it seems like his job is safe, which is kind of weird. I want to flip it over a little bit to the offensive side of the ball. We're here with Larry Hawley here on Sports Talk Chicago, because, as you mentioned, if the Chicago Bears have a defense that is 7-12, you know, maybe in late May, to some Bears fans hearing that right now, that doesn't sound like much. I think that is significant, because what the Chicago Bears have always had is a one-dimensional unit outside of 2013 when their offense was good. Every other year, it's mostly been about that defense. So if you have a 7-12 in the NFL unit and you just give me middle of the road offense for the Chicago Bears, I think you've got a really competitive team. And I think you also have a playoff team. I want to ask you a little bit about Caleb Williams, and I want to phrase it like this, because what I appreciate about you so much is that you are not just a Chicago history buff, but you are a sports history buff too as well. And what I've been trying to get across to Bears fans is I think that we have an affliction in this town with the quarterback. I'm not saying anything that's new, but is it fair to also posit that now with Ryan Poles and what they're trying to build here with the selection of Caleb Williams, number one overall, is it fair to say to Bears fans that we have to put the past behind us? The Mitch Trubisky, the Justin Fields, the Jay Cutler, the Cade McNown, the Rex Grossman. It seems like a flat time is a flat circle or a wheel that keeps on spinning. Is it fair to say that maybe we should put our past preconceived notions about Bears quarterback play behind us and try and look at this with fresh eyes with Caleb Williams, and talk a little bit about what you like about the selection of Caleb Williams?
Yeah, and I think history is a powerful thing. We saw that with the Cubs for so many years. I think history can be there. It may, you know, I remember, I forget who it was. Somebody said, it may not be a curse, but certainly the weight of history can be there. We've seen with the Bears the weight of history when it comes to quarterbacks. We've seen it firsthand just recently. I think really what was interesting and telling to me was the incredibly strong reactions that you saw when it came to Justin Fields, it came to who did they want? Did you want Caleb Williams? Did you want Justin Fields? It was really stunning to see the incredible social reaction, almost anger and fighting, things you really didn't see. Now, of course, it's social media age. We're not really in a long age, but the incredible divisions within the fan base and just, you know, how nasty it got at times. It just shows how much the quarterback position and the lack of the Bears being able to have consistency at that position has really haunted the franchise. We can go back years upon years, with Jim McMahon, who had that chance to be consistent. He couldn't stay healthy. The health was a big thing for him. You go through the 1990s, you have Tom Zach, you have Harbaugh, you have Steve Walsh, you have Eric Kramer. Then you get into the Stenstroms, the Morenos. Then you go ahead and you get the Jim Millers and the Chris Chandlers. You had Henry Burris. You had Cordell Stewart. People forget about Cordell Stewart was a Chicago Bear. Jonathan Quinn. Then, of course, you get Rex Grossman. And you have what I consider to be maybe the greatest 6 weeks of quarterback in Bears history in 06. And then he completely falls apart. And then the Super Bowl, he has a terrible game. And then you have Kyle Orton. And then you get Jay Cutler. And Cutler was, I think, a very effective quarterback. I think very easy to make the claim he's the best quarterback in Bears history. But, he had some troubles with consistency, not aided by the fact that the Bears are switching offensive coordinators every couple of years. So he's gone. Then you draft Trubisky. You overreach to go get him, and he does not pan out. You don't have the system in place to make that work. Nagy has this first year. It's funny, you mentioned that if the Bears can just have a middle-of-the-road offense and a good defense, maybe you do that. Right now, with not knowing much about Williams, understanding his talent, but understanding, and understanding the guys around him, what they're building, I've often said for the Bears, they're kind of a playoff line team right now. Probably I saw a projection that they were 13th in the league. That's probably fair. That would be about right around the playoff line. Williams has a tremendous amount of talent. I like the fact that he's a character. He's a unique guy. I find that especially telling in sports. I like that. He has his own flair. He does the bear claw, which I think people are excited about. He's shown incredible talent in what he can do. He's shown the ability with Rome to already build a little bit of chemistry. I think that it's something, I think he has a chance to be a special player. And he has incredible talent, enough to the point where I think Poles did distance himself from a quarterback that I think he respected and a quarterback that maybe he thinks has a second level. I think he has a second level. And I think Justin Fields is going to go to a place that's going to give him every opportunity to do that while he learns behind a Super Bowl winning quarterback in Russell Wilson. He's had a couple of rough years, but again, he's a guy who knows how to win. I'm excited about Williams. He has tremendous talent, and it will be up to the Bears coaches to get the most out of that talent. Sometimes talent can rise above that. Sometimes it can. I've always said that I thought Andrew Luck had the great fortune. Now, Andrew Luck, tremendous quarterback, tremendous talent, had the great fortune to work with Bruce Arians his first year. Obviously, Bruce had to step in when Chuck Pagano got sick, but Bruce Arians was, his own guy. You worked with Manning, worked with all those guys. I think of other quarterbacks who've done it. Cam Newton had tremendous success, although he had to start with a team that was really struggling. That Panther team was not good at all. The Bears and Williams is going to have the opportunity that the Bears are not rebuilding. This would be a Bears team that, landed in the bottom of the top 10. We're not in playoff conversation really much at all last year. They, because of that bad start, they were playing catch up and didn't do enough in December to really be there. So there's a lot of advantages for Williams. He's got three great receivers in Allen, Moore, and Adunze. I really think that he's going to have every chance to succeed here. And I really think that Caleb has the talent. He has the moxie. I think that's important for a quarterback. And it seems like he has the attitude. I'm really excited to see what he's going to bring, because if he's able to be that quarterback in Chicago, I can't really think of a greater thing other than getting the Cubs to a World Series. Although the Bears have now gone so long without a Super Bowl and have gone so long without a consistent quarterback. If Caleb Williams is really able to do that, become a consistent all-pro MVP, and most importantly, lead the Bears to a Super Bowl, you're talking about a guy who goes, is in the pantheon of Chicago sports. Maybe he even put him on the Rushmore if he gets really, 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 really good. So yes, history is part of it. History is something you reflect on. We are, we're not doomed to repeat history, but we sure as heck never forget it. That's just part of how it goes. So I think the history is there. Williams has as good of a chance to break that as anybody else has had. Now it's up to them to do it. And for those around Williams to support him as well, it's really hard to do it all by yourself. And he's going to need that help to do it.
Yeah, it's just for me, look, just being around it long enough, I'm just one of the easiest fallback lines that a Chicagoan can throw out there is that, you know, the Bears, they ruin the one quarterback, they'll ruin the next guy. You know what I mean? It's the old, it's like the old McCaskey, you know what I mean, narrative that keeps going back and forth, that they'll always continuously screw it up. I think this time is a little bit different. I think you're bringing up such a great point that I think the tangibles of Caleb Williams' play on the field and the intangibles of what he's shown personality-wise off the field made this decision almost pretty cut and dry and easy for Ryan Poles. And as much division as there was on social media, and trust me, Larry, I saw that on the daily. Once it happened, I think just who Caleb is has made that transition to move on to him a little bit easier. My thing, though, is that I don't know what it is, and maybe this has to do with my history as loving and falling out of love with Chicago Bears quarterbacks, is I feel so very protective of Caleb Williams. That honestly, I know that he is still a rookie quarterback. You mentioned Andrew Luck. You know, he had his bumps in the road the first month of the season. Everyone wants to talk about C.J. Stroud, but Brendan Shagrew so aptly last week said, you know, C.J. Stroud started the season 0-2. So if Caleb Williams starts this season 0-2, I just don't want to see Bears fans' brains melting on social media and in this town that I now live and love. So I'm having a little bit more cautious optimism about the non-linear road that Caleb Williams is going to have performance-wise as a Chicago Bear. So I will ask you this. There was an ESPN article that came out that had, I believe, Caleb Williams projected to have 26 total touchdowns this year. And a lot of people, for fodder or just having fun with it, are asking themselves, can Caleb Williams break the Bears franchise passing touchdown record as a rookie, which is still 29 from, as you mentioned, Eric Kramer. So I'm going to put this number at 26.5 total touchdowns. If you were taking the over under just right now with Caleb's output, are you leaning over? Are you leaning under on that right now?
You know, part of me wonders if you might go over, because I just think that, I think they're going to try to throw the ball here a little bit. I might actually go over, you know, and maybe that is a little bit of optimism, but he does have enough weapons around him. I think they've done a good job. Key's going to be seeing how that offensive line comes together. I'm really curious to see Bates, you know, if that's where they go with center, which it seems like they are. You know, the line's kind of there. You've got Braxton Jones, who's out there, you know, on the tackle spot with Wright. I'm really curious to see how the line develops, because that's been something, but I think they've got something going. And, you know, God bless Tevin Jenkins, who 2 years went from the trading block to now being one of your foundation guys.
So indispensable.
Yeah. Funny how that happens, but he's got every shot to do it. You know, with Swift being added in the backfield, I think that's another fantastic addition. Roshan Johnson's an interesting guy. I want to see what they do there. And of course, you've got Herbert. He's got stuff around. You know what? I think I would go over. And you know what? There's going to be mistakes. He could, even last year, I was telling people that, you know, in my mind last year, the decision point for the Bears was going to be the last eight games of the year, because I felt like they were still trying to figure stuff out. So personally, when the Bears, you know, how the Bears performed the last eight games was not quite the best case scenario, but they were certainly better. And you saw stuff out of the defense that was there. They beat the Lions once. They should have beat them twice, but unfortunately they couldn't quite get the job done. I think you certainly saw, especially in the last two home games, the Bears had ascended past that lower level of team. They had jumped up. They had taken that leap up to go. They had taped, and they were no longer the bottom feeders. They had moved their way up. So I think this year is going to be the same thing in some respects. You know, you've got a weird three-game AFC South slate to start. You've got a lot of division games stacked in the back, which usually happens. It's a little bit of a peculiar schedule. So I think it's going to be a little bit up and down. I think it would be great if the Bears had great defense early and were able to maybe get a couple of wins. I do wonder if they're going to be a hard-charging team at the finish. And that could be what it is. You know, I think of Andrew Luck's season. They started that year 1-2, you know, and then they come back. And you speak of bumps and bruises, and yes, Andrew took a bunch of them. And unfortunately for him, I think that probably led to his career being much, much shorter than I'm sure he and of course, all football fans would have liked. But I do think there is going to have to be patience. But what is patience? Patience doesn't exist. We've seen that, you know, it's, and there isn't. And last year, you know what I said? Last year, I knew the Bears were probably going to struggle early. They had the worst start you could possibly imagine. Coaches getting fired, blowing a 20-point lead, getting waxed by the Packers in the second half in that opener. That was about as worst a scenario. And then they go and play the Chiefs and look hapless.
I was going to say, Kansas City on the road week three, we all looked at that months mm-hmm. before, you know, when the schedule came out, and we said that's a loss, and
that,
that was going to be a difficult road to hoe. Yeah. So I'm with you on that one, and mm-hmm. and yeah, you're bringing up again, division stacked at the end of the year. The final eight games, if you want to look at it like that, obviously all six of those are going to be against division opponents. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of with you, just the way that the schedule is kind of stacked up, just the type of offensive lines that this team is going to be playing. And when we mm-hmm. talk about defensive line as a concern for the Chicago Bears, I think we are going to get a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde type mm-hmm. team at times this year, a mm-hmm. team that can maybe rip off a little win streak, but also maybe put a losing streak together just as easily. So that's a little bit where my hesitancy is with this team mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, and that's why I think probably I think you and me and we've seen it, they're right around the playoff line. So what's playoff line? 9-8, 10-7? Could they do that? Sure. I think that would be fair. I think if he came out and I know some people were saying the Bears will win 10 games last year. I thought that was very optimistic. I pinned them between 6-8. And that's about where they landed. And that included, I thought, a fairly good charge at the end. I thought that the goal last year, if they could get there, was to go into December and at least be in the playoff conversation. They really were not there. I mean, I know that they a little bit late. They really weren't there at that point. You know, had they beaten Detroit, of course, you can always say for a lot of games, they beat the Broncos early on. And, you know, maybe if they'd beaten Detroit, it would have been a little bit more, you know, fiery. I don't think they made it to the last week still alive in the playoffs. I think they were eliminated.
No, we were in the graphic. We were in the bottom.
I was wondering,
graphic for a couple of weeks, but we didn't make it to the end of the year on that.
And it wasn't really a true thought. It never really crossed anybody's mind. Pretty much after October that was going to happen. But I think it's there's a lot there, and I think it will be if they start 0-3, people will panic. I think for me, again, it's depending on what that defense can do early. Can they keep you in some games? And if you're able to do that, maybe instead of losing, and if the offense can be okay, let's just say maybe you have four or five close games to end the year, maybe you end up going 3-2 instead of going 2-3 or 1-4. And that can make a significant difference. And I always think one thing, I've always kind of made this for a building team, and I had it for the Colts of 2012 when they went from winning two games to winning 11. The key for the Bears is to win the games against the opponents to whom they are like, those middle games, those games in which they're playing teams like the Vikings, the Titans, not really the Texans, because the Texans were kind of upper echelon.
Cardinals, Commanders.
Exactly. Those are those teams in the middle kind of stacking that if you're thinking of it as a race, they're kind of trying to get there. If the Bears can have a good record in that category, just like the Colts did in 2012, that's kind of a study for me for years of breakthrough. I think that can be something that's really significant for the Bears, because then all of a sudden you go from being maybe a fringe playoff, maybe you're in the wild card graphic there in the final 2 weeks, to where maybe you go into the final 2 weeks and you have 9 or 10 wins, and then you can maybe battle for a little position. And if the division doesn't pan out, maybe you're playing for a division title and you get a chance to play at home. All these things are factors, but I think looking at the season right now, if the Bears, you're going to have some ups and downs, but if the Bears defense can find themselves, and let's just say they get another defensive end at some point, maybe they do something. Maybe you get a surge like you saw in 2018 where, hey, suddenly it's the end of September. The Bears are the best defense in the league. And you're starting to think big. And obviously you could think big that year with what they were able to end up doing. But we'll see. And again, you just don't know what's going to go into a season. But if people overreact, that's part of it. There's a lot of passion that we've seen, as we mentioned again, when it came to this quarterback decision, always going to be there for the Bears. So could there be inconsistency? Sure, probably to expect it with a rookie quarterback. But if that defense can rise to the challenge, then maybe in that inconsistency, you pull out a couple of these victories that allow you then to be able to play playoff football in January.
Yeah, and keep in mind that Carolina Panthers trade is still ongoing. They still mm-hmm. have their second-round pick next year. Ryan Poles has traded second-round picks past two seasons. One was not so great, Chase Claypool. The other mm-hmm. one was great with Montez Sweat. He could easily do that again this year for mm-hmm. middle of the season reinforcements. So we'll just have to see how it goes. You mentioned fringe sports teams here. We want to talk a little Chicago Cubs here mm-hmm. with Larry Hawley right here in Sports Talk Chicago. We got to take a quick break, but we're going to come right back and talk a little Chicago Cubs right here on Sports Talk Chicago. Coming back here on Sports Talk Chicago, Joey Christopoulos. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. Filling in for John Zaglul here on Sports Talk Chicago. Thank you so much for tuning in. We're with Larry Hawley right here talking Bears. And now we're going to talk a little Chicago Cubs. As of this taping right now on a Tuesday, the Chicago Cubs are .500 baseball right now. Did not play well, even though a great pitching performance from Justin Steele against the division leading Milwaukee Brewers right now. I guess I'm going to give you a little bit of a buffet, Larry. The team defense has not been great this season. The bullpen has blown over 10 saves. There's been injury problems, and the team in clutch situations, specifically runners in scoring position, has been anemic to say the least. So which one is the biggest red flag for you right now with the Chicago Cubs team 54, 55 games into the season?
You know, offense comes and goes and wanes, and I think the Cubs are still trying to figure that out. The bullpen is concerning. I think you had hoped that Alzolay was going to be able to keep up what he did last year and have that great streak. It didn't happen. I mean, he's injured. You know, we'll see if he's able to come back. I think he was to be evaluated 2 weeks ago, a week ago, and see if that hasn't needed a surgery. So you've relied on Neris to do some closing, and maybe he ends up being that guy. Maybe the Cubs end up trading for that. The bullpen is concerning. The starters have been pretty decent. Kyle Hendricks, unfortunately, I don't know if we're seeing like a Jake Arrieta like we saw in the final years with him, but, you know, Kyle's really struggling to find anything to get going. And it's a shame because he's, you know, obviously he's holds such a great position in Cubs lore and, you know, what he did there in 2016. And in fact, for a few years before, and of course, a few years after, you know, but Assad has been really good as a starter. I think Steele's just going to come back. He had a really nice effort on Monday against the Brewers. Unfortunately, again, Cubs didn't have good defense with the Madrigal error. Bullpen couldn't hold it and they couldn't score any runs. I think offense comes around. I don't really have, that's probably for me as a bullpen. Where are you going to get arms? Where are you going to find people? Where are you going to find those things? I think hitting can kind of figure itself out, and Council will probably be figuring that out here a little bit as they try to shuffle, you know, where you're going to go here. Where what are you going to do? Is PCA going to come back up? You know, do you, I think Madrigal still has some options left. So if you want to send him down and he's struggling, it's a very interesting position for the Cubs to be in a couple of ways, because I think some people hope when you bring in Craig Counsell here that, you know, he's going to be that difference maker where you're going to go up the 7 to 10 wins that you did. And right now the Brewers are going up and he left them. So it's a little bit of a weird situation. You know, I wonder like what will happen with Michael Busch. You know, is he going to be somebody there? I know Brennan Davis, I think he's dealing with injuries again, but I know he was tearing it up a little bit. Do you bring him up? Do you give some of the younger hitters that shot? I think it's just an evaluation process for the Cubs. But if you look right now, it's that bullpen, because I think the starters have been solid. Hitting, you kind of think, comes around when they find the combination. But they need arms in the bullpen. And if they don't have it, then you're going to have to look to trade some capital. You're going to have to figure that out. You hope Alzolay can come back. Maybe if he's, you know, he gets healed up a little bit, he can rediscover that magic he had last year coming out in the closer role. I don't know. I guess to me, it's the bullpen. It is still very early in the season. They are not falling apart by any means like the Sox are. Or, you know, the Sox the last 2 years have completely, you know, pretty much sank their seasons in 2 months. So I think that there is some time to do it. I think this team could be a fast closer. But yeah, there's some concern. It's probably disappointing for fans who are hoping this would be a team that maybe gets out to that hot start. Maybe you're 4 or 5 games up heading into June.
Before we get to the offensive side, I want to stick with the bullpen for a second. And to be very fair, Larry, the White Sox tanked their seam in 20 games this season.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
They tanked it, they were 3-18. They did that mm-hmm. hard and fast and early to save us all a whole bunch of time. Mm-hmm. But I digress. When it comes to the bullpen, from my view, is that there's a little bit of some hubris going on, I think, in the front office specifically. So I'm curious to see what direction you think they should go in, because I think a lot of fans want them to go outside of the organization to make a move right now via trade and bring somebody in. As you mentioned, maybe chip away a couple of those prospects to bring mm-hmm. someone in that's proven. From my vantage point, it looks like a little bit that Jed Hoyer was really kind of banking on a guy like a Julian Merriweather being there. He got hurt right out of the gate. As you mentioned, Alzolay being the closer, ineffective and then hurt. And now I think they're possibly hoping that maybe some of these in-house options or some of their depth is going to help them get through it. Are you buying or selling, you know, a guy like Ben Brown in the late innings to possibly be, you know, the balm for what's ailing this bullpen right now? Or do you think eventually they are going to have to look outside this organization to bring somebody into that eighth and ninth inning specifically to close down games?
Well, I think at this point, when you're looking at the Cubs, and here's something I want to preface it. At this point, if you're the Cubs, you brought in Craig Counsell, you're not here to finish five games out of the, of, you know, two games out of the division, win 82 games and not make the playoffs. They're in a playoff make mode now. They are in a big market mode now. You are going to make that trade. So I think they do go outside the organization. I'd be very shocked if they didn't do that. And I think they could do it for a closer. Hoyer's been relatively patient when it's come to that. He has not really been done anything crazy to try to, at least in my mind, go after that thing. I wonder how much that patience is tested when you went out and got Craig Counsell. When you make that move, you do so to make that happen. I think they may try to hold on to as many prospects as they can. Maybe a Ben Brown comes through for you. Maybe a Neris discovers himself and becomes your closer. I don't know if that's going to happen. I think that there's so much unknown in that bullpen. In my mind, it's kind of hard now not to think they're not going to do something, because I don't think they're just going to sit here and let a season get away. You know, last year they let things get away. They had a terrible schedule to finish and it caught up to them. I don't think they'll let, and well, actually I'll take that back. I was at two of those Pirates games, which they lost and, you know, kind of killed them a little bit too. I just think that they're not going to be, this isn't 21, this isn't 22, you know, maybe to some degree 23, where you were building your team back. They're in the mode now. I fully expect a trade if they're close. I think they'll go get a closer if they can. I think if they can do it and not give up everything, they'll do it. The Cubs are in win now mode. They have to be in win now mode. You just can't do that now. You're the Cubs. You're big market. You've gone out there and you've gotten Craig Counsell. You've signed Cody Bellinger to a good deal for, I think, both sides. You've made these moves to be competitive right now. So I think they will make a move outside the organization. I would be very shocked if they did not make a move. And I would maybe not be surprised if they made a really big move and they moved one of their prospects to do it. They're in win now mode. You're not waiting.
Yeah, the reason why I think I would be so surprised if they stayed in house is that we're 54, 55 games into the season. And typically by now, a lot of these guys should know what their roles are in the bullpen. And they've had to continuously switch them up in and out a little bit, where you take a guy like Hector Neris, they're now asking him to close games a little bit. You take a guy like Wes Neski or Ben Brown, they've asked them to open games and start games, play middle dog in the middle of a game, and also maybe play, you know, pitch in the eighth inning of games. So a lot of these guys have taken on a lot of different roles. And then Mark Leiter Jr. is just like, whenever, you know, he's been the Swiss Army knife, the indispensable piece that they've been trying to lead in there. So I think outside the organization is probably the only way that they get them in line a little bit, where everyone can start to know their roles. And we know, okay, sixth, seventh inning, we're going to see him. Eighth inning, we're going to see Neris. Lighter for lefties, because you can get lefties out and maybe open up that ninth inning role. Moving on to the offense a little bit. You know, man, this is a big concern with me. Let's start with Michael Busch here and the Michael Busch situation, because again, and I keep harping back to it, I'm not in disagreement that the decision that Jed made to trade Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo, or not give Anthony Rizzo $100 million. I probably, personally, I would have done that. I would have done five for 100 and not thought twice about it. And I think he would have been a serviceable player. My problem with it is that they have never gone out to sufficiently supplant and replace those players at those two cornerstone positions. Enter Michael Busch. Now, we all know that he had that wonderful home run streak in the middle of the season, but I'm just going to read some stats off to you really quick. Over his last 90 at-bats, Larry, slash line, 178, 269 on base, 289 slug at home. He's only hitting 205, slugging 370 at home with a 638 OPS, with runners in scoring position, 152, 244, 273. I mean, this is a guy that, by and large, has been in that 3-4-5 of the lineup for most of the year. Is your patience starting to wear thin? Because I think mine is, unfortunately, because it's a results-based business, and we know Bellinger can play first, and you've got options in the outfield amongst the minor leagues. Some of them you already mentioned with PCA and Brendan Davis. So what's your patience level right now with Michael Busch?
Well, that is going to be tested. Oddly enough, you might notice I was looking down at my phone. He did homer tonight. So he got his eighth homer of the year. So he did homer. He did homer as of the taping of this tonight.
Shut my mouth. He's back, no, baby.
But I think patience is probably thinner now. Again, we talk about the premise of this Cubs season is not to just all right, we're going to win 82 games. Let's see if we get a wild card spot. The premise is to win the division. You went and got Craig Counsell. You're paying him a lot of money. The premise is to win the division. So I don't know how much patience there's going to be. And frankly, I don't know. I don't know if they're going to want to wait that out, especially if they start really dropping games here for a little bit. I think you still can have some patience. You're still in June. You know, the Brewers have opened up a little bit of a lead here on the Cubs. And I think it's about five games and four and a half.
Is it
five
four
games
and a half right now?
Four and a half, 5 games was as of the taping of this. So I don't know how much you can think about it. I mean, do you go ahead and you just move Bellinger to first? You put PCA in the outfield? Is that what you do? That seems to make the most sense. But you're right about the cornerstones. You've never really come up with a first baseman, you know, that's done it. We all love the Frank Schwindel fund that was there in 21 for a little bit of 22. They've never really come up with that. I thought maybe Bellinger would be, maybe that would be his place. Although he's so talented in the field, you know, do you really want to do that? And they could do that. I thought maybe that they would. If the PCA comes around, I think that becomes a very viable option, especially if Michael Busch either A, you know, isn't able to find that consistency and or B, he plays third, you know, and then you kind of deal with that. Again, I think it depends upon there, but I just don't think you go get Craig Counsell. I think the whole thing this year is every time I kind of think, hey, the Cubs, maybe they're going to take some time. Look at these prospects. I don't think they're really quite at that point yet. You're not trading all the prospects. This isn't like 16, 17, 18 for the Cubs. You're trading everybody. You know, you're not going to do that. You're going to hold back, but to say the Cubs are going to be uber patient as they might have been in 22 or 23 is not right. So I don't know how much they will wait. I think certainly homering tonight's probably going to help and give them some time. It's kind of a mystery. I don't know. In some ways it is. I think in some ways it's kind of a mystery with how Counsell and Hoyer are going to handle this. And again, we are talking, you are still just a handful of games, not a handful. You're a bushel full of games into the year. You're not at the halfway point yet. We're not even at June. So you've got a little bit of time if you want to think about, you know, waiting to see things. But I don't know if that patience is going to be there. You start getting into mid-June. Let's just say we get into mid-June, early July, and the Cubs are still five back, still wondering what they're going to do with their bullpen, still wondering where they're going to find some consistency at some of the positions we talked about. Then I don't think they're going to be patient. I think there'll be moves made.
Well, and look, the problem when we talk about Michael Busch too as well is that, yeah, we are deep enough into the season where you can't just hide him in the lineup anymore, because there's three, four other guys that are deeply struggling too as well in this offensive lineup. And I'm just going to start reading guys off to you, Larry, because apparently when I bring a guy up, he homers. So let's snap some slumps here right now. Yeah. I just want to, whatever catches your eye with these guys, you know, the last 87 at bats from Miguel Amaya, slash line 161, 229 on base, 276. At home, he's only hitting 167. Runners in scoring position, Miguel Amaya, who's been getting the lion's share of the catchers at bats this season, 152, 286, 212. Dansby Swanson over his last 105 at bats, he's only hitting 200 with a 286 slug. Away games, 446 OPS away from Wrigley Field. Runners in scoring position, 162, 220, 324 slash line, not very good. And then the final one, of course, is Chris Morel, who we all want to love here in Chicago. We love his energy and his passion. Craig Counsell made a decision to move the guy from a place that, by and large, he hit ninth last season. No one was really paying a lot of attention to him, and he was able to kind of feast at the bottom of the lineup, hitting cleanup now. His last 50 at bats, 143. And then with two strikes, my goodness, 0-2, he's hitting 086 when the count is 1-2, 140 when the count is 2-2, he's hitting 100. Look, no one's going to succeed at that level. You want to be in the 200 to 220 range, so that's still below average. But it's just tough when you got Michael Busch and those four, all the three guys that you got to run out on an everyday basis, and they're putting up numbers like that. It's just a difficult position to be in right now offensively for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, and you're, you know, and everybody's struggling. And I think that could be one of the reason why you're seeing a little bit of panic, because everybody is struggling. We really don't have anything
one
really
guy.
Going.
It's,
yeah, yes. That's it. And that's it. And I don't know really, you know, you can. That's why I said I think there's just a little bit of patience. I mentioned that before, but I don't think that's going to last. And I think that there will be some moves, you know, especially if they go up to Milwaukee here and have a bad series. And it is kind of a shame that everybody's dropping. Maybe it's just a little bit of a slump. But again, the question is, from my mind, is going to be patience. Where are they going to have patience before they make some moves here? They might be trade a prospect. I don't think you're there yet. And I think if we're a month from now and we're still talking about this stuff, then it happens. But it is weird how the hitters have disappeared. Now I'm more worried about the bullpen because I do think hitters come back, and I think they've got some guys who can hit, you know, and I think guys like Morel does have to find consistency. I mean, Chris has a lot, he has some great moments, but he also, you know, has struggled to find that consistency. You know, he's been up and down, you know, especially the minor leagues first couple of years. So I'm curious to see what will become of him. You figure Swanson will snap out of it. You figure, you know, other guys will as well. That, like I said, it's just weird. They're just kind of in a holding pattern right now that you don't really want to make anything irrational, but you're not going to be at a time where you're going to have a lot of patience. So I think if the Cubs wanted to try something, play some younger players, maybe call up a PCA, I think you could do it. I think you can do it, and you can try it and see if this shakes things up a little bit.
Yeah, that's a great way to phrase it, holding pattern, because, you know, in my opinion, I think they got about – yeah, they have about a month really to maybe continue to tinker and maybe see if you can get something out of the kids or see if you can turn a couple of seasons around before they have to make a decision. Because if they keep playing the way that they're playing right now, let's be honest, going out and acquire a bullpen option will not even be on the table. It won't even be a discussion if they continue to play the way that they are right now. And I think a big part of it too is, you know, they're only 15-11 at Wrigley right now. I believe they were 9 games over at home last season. I do think that'll be a benefit to them if they can start playing a little bit better at the friendly confines. And I think they could hopefully turn it around here, but we'll see. It's still May. Plenty to discuss here, but definitely some concerning elements with the Chicago Cubs. I'm going to get you out of here on this one, Larry. Forgive me, I'm going to surprise you on this one because it's pretty fresh. I'll keep it simple for you, and I'm just going to phrase it to you like this. Did the internet get Angel Hernandez fired?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I think he's been around long enough that he could, you know, he could have probably stuck around if he wanted to. He's had a pretty long career. He's probably heard all this stuff all the time. Obviously, he's had a lot of criticism, but don't forget in 2001, well before social media, and well before social media was mainstream, I should say that, you know, there's Steve McMichael in the broadcast booth screaming at him because he missed the call, you know, the inning before.
Yeah.
So I you know, people have had their problems with Angel Hernandez going back well before the net. But, you know, could the criticism fuel a little bit? Sure, but... You know, he's been there a while, and he's had his moments. And that's the first thing I thought of was 2001. And it's funny, you go back to 2001, and they were already questioning what he was there. You know, it's just the umpire that everybody, you know, an umpire is an adversary to begin with. And he certainly had that adversarial role and, you know, took a lot of criticism, you know, from players, too, who are not afraid to say stuff either. So, I mean, the internet get him fired. I don't know. I you know, probably didn't help. It didn't help him, but I mean, I don't know if that would get him.
My pushback is just on this, is that the only reason why I'm asking it the way that I'm asking it is that, as you mentioned, the guy has been around for 20 plus years as an umpire. He's been a part of All-Star Game crews, World Series crews, so on and so forth. The man has also stood up for his own rights within his own union through litigious efforts in the past, and he's taken things out to stand up for issues that he believes in or misfair treatment that he has seen throughout his union, throughout the umpires union. And I just found it strange that it's the end of May and he's walking away from the game now. And I'm asking the question because I'm not saying that the fans got him fired, but the power of the internet, what we're able to do with memes, and that you can circulate a bad call now to millions of different people around the world, it does turn into a bit of a PR conversation that baseball may have had to have. And I asked the question in a glib way to get the reaction, but I am wondering if the internet had something to do with them asking Angel Hernandez to say, you know, you can, we're asking you to resign. We're not going to fire you, but you can go out on your own terms. And I'm wondering if that's happening right now.
Yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, maybe. I don't know. I mean, again, you set a precedent with an umpire, maybe if you do that. So that maybe is in my mind a little bit of a pushback, you know. So I'm kind of there. I'm kind of in the middle on it. I mean, his track record, you know, but I guess, unfortunately, you don't like to say that about anybody, but he's had been criticized fairly often through the years.
Yeah, and that's fair, Larry. He's been an unfair punching bag too, as well at times. Because if you put his numbers up against some of the other ones that have come under criticism over the years, they're not that far off. And a lot of people would like to run this number that I think last year He had 14 of his 18 calls that were replayed at first base overturned, which I push back on because honestly, you're going to make that call with confidence because you know that you can go to the tape. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree with that.
There's that wiggle room there where you can have a little bit of that conviction. So he did turn into a little bit of a punching bag, but I am wondering if the internet pitchforks came out enough and MLB baseball mm-hmm. just decided to have someone ask someone to step aside who had been doing it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering why it's happening now. I guess that's it.
And it's interesting. So I don't know. I guess only he and MLB know.
Until he writes a book. Until he writes a tell-all book, Larry. We got to get you out of here. Thank you so much for coming on to Sports Talk Chicago, Larry. Everyone, please follow him at Holly Sports. Check out his wonderful Balcony Brew reviews. What better way to find out a wonderful brew or beverage to enjoy this summer? Non-alcoholic also, too, as well, this mm-hmm. summer, during this hot summer, than checking out his Balcony Brew reviews. Larry, thank you so much for coming on to Sports Talk Chicago. I really appreciate it, man. Good to see you, and I legit am honest with you. I owe you that beer, and it's coming soon.
I can't wait, man, and it's great to have you in Chicago, and thank you so much for this opportunity. Always appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Larry. Today's episode of Sports Talk Chicago, we got to give a couple of shout-outs here real quick. Thank you so much for watching us on YouTube. Comment and question below and subscribe. Make sure you answer the poll question if you get the opportunity. Just want to shout-out our great radio affiliates that are carrying Sports Talk Chicago all throughout the great state of Illinois. 98.3 The Life, WKAN, 105.5 The Ticket, ACTV, JED TV, WJOB, Cities 92.9 Talk FM, and 101.1 Peoria Sports Radio. I'm Joey Christopoulos. You can follow me at Joey Sports Guy. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode. We'll be back next week. Thank you so much. Be well, be safe. Please be good to each other, and we will check you out next week.